Good afternoon. So we're seeing how Judaism and our weddings have been redefined over the decades. Mine are no different. So I didn't know where to start. I've been married 3 times. Start there. And so when I told Valerie I was doing this today, she said, well, you are going to talk about our wedding, right? And I went, but what about the other two? The stories go with those, but it's our wedding you're going to talk about, right? So I'm including them all, from beginning to end, and then when I get to the root that started all this in 1946, 44, over 70 years ago. So my first wedding was to a woman who was then known as Debbie Stone, and she was then became Saida Stone. Now she's Strongheart Stone. I have no idea where she's going next with her names. But we've just celebrated 50-odd years of friendship 2 years ago, and 50 years of friendship. We met in 1965 at an SDS meeting in College Park, trying to overthrow the government and the war and the rest. And so we fell in love and decided to get married so we could share a room in college in New Hampshire, in Franconia, northern New Hampshire. And so we got married. But at that wedding, her father wouldn't come because I'm white. My father wouldn't come because she's black. So then the mothers came, and I was so nervous getting married in this strange place in a church that when the person said, take the ring and say those words, out of my mouth tumbled, with this ring I thee wed. And the minister fell to the floor laughing. The entire congregation fell to the floor laughing, and we got married. And then we got divorced. But we had a great time, and we're still friends, and we had a daughter, Chelsea, who was born in 1970. And we'll go to her wedding next. This is the way that she was raised as a Jewish woman. And so at her wedding, she had a Rastafarian Jewish wedding. And her Rastafarian, it really did. So a cantor married them. They couldn't find a rabbi, but they found a cantor to marry them. And they had a Rastafarian priest who was playing drums and singing Rasta songs and chants as they walked in. So they walk in together. They had a kente cloth chuppah. They jumped the broom and smashed the glass. And had 3 kids, all of whom had Hebrew names. That's wedding number 2. And it was just an amazing wedding. It was a great day. I mean, it was all the Rastas in one corner smoking something. And all the older Jews in another corner drinking something. And I think there was like a non-kosher place to eat and a kosher place to eat, and everybody was happy. So then came wedding number 2 for me, which was under a pine tree here in Baltimore by the Ethical Union leader. And Tanya and I got married, and just our daughters from our first marriages and 2 other people, my brother-in-law, who turned out not to be such a nice guy, and one of her best friends. And that was an uneventful wedding. The final wedding in my life to Valerie, we're really happy. She couldn't be here today because we were just in Massachusetts seeing her brother who's not doing well, so she stayed up there. But so we got married in our home. My friend Anthony McCarthy, also on radio, married us. And so we had this wedding, and she said, don't you need a minion? Because we had a very small one. You know. I said, guess you could have a minion, sure. So what do? We only have enough people. But we just had this dog. And this dog, I didn't want this dog. But this dog was in our house because both my youngest daughter, Maisie, and Valerie said, we have to keep this dog. It's a pug, or it passed for a pug. It was small. And so she said, I got it. So she went back in the back room and took one of Maisie's old doll dresses and put this tutu around the dog. So in our wedding picture is the dog with a tutu and all of us standing around. And there was a deluge. It was mud everywhere. It was raining all over the place. Nobody could find the house. The sign washed away down the street. I had to go out and get drenched. And they'd say, it's this way, it's this way. And they finally got to the house. And we had this lovely wedding. And so Valerie looks to my mentor, my intellectual mentor, a man named Al Engelman, who had survived the Holocaust, and a brilliant guy, still is. And so he goes to her, she says, "Well, Al, how do you say my wife in Yiddish?" He looks at her and goes, "Mein Weib." And that was that wedding. And so all of our weddings in our family have been like this. My brother's weddings, his first wife passed, my sister. They've all been kind of cross-racial, cross-cultural, all with Jewish stuff flavored inside and out of them, and kids growing up Jewish, no matter whether they were growing up in the hills of West Virginia or in our home here in Baltimore. But it all had a root 70-odd years ago. My sister passed away last August. She's an incredible woman, and Dina. And as we were emptying out her files, I found this one file. My father was writing a story. And it was a story about how he met my mother. So Dad was stationed in England in World War II. And this was a dark, thick, foggy night in a city called Wolverhampton. And they were in this thick pea soup fog, waiting for a bus, and the sirens went off. And there were these two young women sitting next to them, but they couldn't see their faces because it was so dark. And so they went to find shelter, and they still didn't see their faces, but Dad wrote how he fell in love with the melodic voice of this woman that he had been talking to in the dark, and fell madly in love with her. As he wrote, he said, the bard said, "Love is a fever," and he became feverish. And he just fell in love. They found a place, they convinced him to go to a place called the Star and Garter, which was a pub. There was no beer, it was only tea and crackers and pea soup, which they had. And they got on the bus and they left. And my father got the jeep from the base and had to find this woman and drove till he found her and found her house and courted her. And they had this great romance. This happened in the spring of 43. Then D-Day happened, June 6, 1944. And Pop was with the 3rd Army. And he followed the 29th Division. So they went through D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, and went to Europe. And Mom had already lost her first fiancé. Mom lost her first fiancé in the Battle of Britain. He was flying a Spitfire and was shot down by the Germans. And Mom's job in the Army was, she was in the Army, and she would pull people out of the rubble when the V2s hit. That was her job, to take people out of the rubble and to save people. My dad was a medical officer in the United States Army. So anyway, he was shipped out. And he writes this piece about how he was shipped out, and Mom was so sad and worried that he was never going to come back alive, and that they would never see each other again, and Pop was out there in the middle of the war. And so General Patton's army got stalled. They couldn't move. They ran out of gas, literally. So Dad wrote in this wonderful piece, said, "So I did what I had to do. I went AWOL." He snuck back, got a friend of his who was a pilot, said, "Can I get in this plane to go back to Wolverhampton?" So the guy said, "Sure." So he's in a plane full of dead bodies and really badly wounded soldiers. Flew back to Britain, came out, went to the Savoy Hotel, he said, at the height of hubris, booked the honeymoon suite, drove over to my mother's house in a Jeep a buddy gave him, fell on his knees and said, "Please marry me right now." My mother, Maisie, said, "Of course, love." And they went off and got married and spent this incredible night together, as he describes it, at the Savoy. Then he snuck back to the front lines the same way. And they lived together until my mother passed away when she was 62. And through all the madness that they went through in their lives, Dad was always head over and heels in love with Mom. Just fell in love with this English beauty. And to finally face, she actually then studied with a rabbi in Birmingham to convert to Judaism. So when she got back to Baltimore, my grandparents wouldn't plots and die that a shiksa walks in the door and she's not Jewish. So that's it. Those are the stories of our wedding and the route that we came from, and I thank them both very much for what they gave to me.